Well, good to see everyone here tonight. Glad to be back in person. Let's see if that's going to work. Oh, yes it is. It's rolling on us there. Cool. All right, guys, since I'm up here, I can take my mask off now, and you guys get to keep yours on. So happy breathing tonight. And so what a blessing. It is good to be back in here tonight. Are we loving this mask society? Hey, for all you Western fans out there, and you've always wanted to be a mask marauder, now here's your chance. Do what? I do notice that, to be honest with you, that when it's cold, and you can put that mask on, and at least my nose is warm. That's the only thing. So good. It's good to be here tonight, guys. We're looking forward to getting into our Bible study this evening and getting into really and truly. This is going to be our first lesson tonight into our soul witnessing course that I talked about here a few months back. And so we're excited and looking forward to that. And we'll get into it in just a minute. I can't think of any announcements that I did not cover this morning. Other than the fact that, remember, we are back. We're back live on Wednesdays. As we're, you know, here now, and Preston and I have to work on not looking into the camera and preaching and teaching now that we have live individuals in the chapel. After doing that for 5 months, it's been a little bit difficult, just to be perfectly honest with you. And but nevertheless, we'll get it done. But I do thank you guys for being here this evening. I did hear from Daisy. I think you guys probably saw the post on the general update, but they made it back safe from Cornwall, and she's back in from Cardiff as well. Did anybody hear? I tried to look, but I only looked briefly. Was there any announcements today on a change for RCT? None. I don't suspect there's going to be one, because I did get the reported cases today. There's 83 new cases today. So honestly, I don't expect that they're going to change anything over the next week. So that's still high, if not close to the highest. There's only 10 in Mirtha. So Mirtha's on a rapid decline. So I would expect the Mirtha lockdown would probably come off at the expected time in about a week's time. So we're excited about that. Cardiff had 55 new cases and today. But as you know, Cardiff is in lockdown as well. Cardiff, Newport, Swansea, Bridgend. I think we all are. Blanter Gwent. It's pretty much all South Wales. And so if we can, guys, let's continue to pray. Just pray the Lord's protection for all of us. You're doing everything right. We're doing everything right here. We're locked away. We're divided and separated one from another, and we're doing it right by following the rules. And we'll continue to do that. Do so. Do ask you guys to keep in prayer our move. We looked at the temporary rental house yesterday. Very, very nice home. Very happy with that. Very thankful the Lord opened up that door. It's a blessing. And so we'll be there. We'll be steadily moving in over the next few weeks. And so I ask you to pray for that. Also, if you will, pray for the other concerning the house that we're looking to hopefully be able to move in on a permanent basis. I ask you to continue to pray for that as well. And so I am looking forward to this evening. So we don't have any other announcements, any prayer requests tonight that you can think of. We're going to go ahead and open up in prayer this evening. And then we'll have a brief closing moment of prayer for everyone at the end, like we just get back to some type of normalcy if we can. Okay. All right, guys, let's bow our heads, if you will. Brother Preston, will you be so kind to please open us in prayer this evening?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to meet together again today. It was wonderful this morning and good to be back tonight. And I just pray that you'll just bless the service. I ask that we'll all be attentive and we'll apply what we hear tonight from your word. Touch Brother Stagner, use him, guide him and direct him. Touch those that are unable to be here, Lord. I pray that you'll just help them. And God, I pray, Lord, that you will remove this lockdown as you see fit.
Yes.
It's just frustrating, but we can bear through it. Mm. And Lord, I ask that you'll just give us the encouragement that we need, Lord, during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Microphone's okay, Brother Preston? Oh, good. All right. Well, wonderful. Guys, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Mark tonight. The book of Mark. And so what we're looking at this evening, this is the early stages. I mentioned to you guys a few months ago that once we did get back into opening up our Wednesday night services live, that I wanted to teach a soul witnessing course here, just a soul witnessing class during our Wednesday evening Bible studies. And what this is this is the preliminary, this is the front end, if you will. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to go over the parable of the sower. And just to give you a bit of an idea, I believe in all of my heart, that if you begin to look at how the parable of the sower is written, what the Lord uses for it, we'll break it apart here this evening as for an introduction, and then we'll look at the first hearers. Guys, one of the most detrimental areas when it comes to being a witness for the gospel of Christ is discouragement. People get discouraged quite easily. We live in a world today that is quite cold. We live in a world today that is not welcoming to the gospel. People aren't just sat around in their houses today watching the telly on topics of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's understandable. That's the world we live in. And we find it quite difficult sometimes to be able to bring it up even in conversation. This is one of the reasons that I thought that to highlight what Preston had talked about this morning, I thought was so important for you to understand opportunities that come into your life. And again, you maybe sit here tonight and say, you know what, I don't go hardly anywhere. I'm not out and about. I'm not this, I'm not that. You are having some type of social contact with some people somewhere, somehow, and the Lord will use those as open doors and give you an opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's important that we know how, when, where, and what to say in witnessing. I think in a great way that we live in a world today that where communication skills are very, very, very minimal. They are. And I don't know, I personally think that is a backlash to social media, to living online. Denise and I watched a little funny video the other night that had this girl interviewing people and had this down at the bottom of the screen. It said born in 1968. All right. Older than me, man. Born in 1968. And the girl said, hey, if you were going to give somebody a hand gesture that I'll give you a call or give you a ring, what would you do? Well, let me test you. What would you guys do? What would I do? I'm going to do this right here. Okay. Then it fast forward to someone born in 1995 and asked the same question. And the boy went, he did just like that. And then he went to another guy, another girl, and did this to two different people who were born in the latter 90s and then in the early 2000s. And they honestly did this. They took their hand and they went like this, I guess, you know. And it was funny. And of course, at the end of the video, the girl said, this is how you know you're old. And I thought that was kind of funny. And but it is. Generations change. Time changes. Life changes. Culture sometimes and most times changes. And guys, the gospel never changes. God does not change. But we can utilize what we have in our world, what's available to us to get the gospel out. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I understand that some people will sit back and say, well, we're not going to have any type of contemporary needs in our life or anything contemporary in our days to present the gospel. And I'm here to tell you right now, unless you've got a scroll as long as this country here with the original writings of the Word of God, you're a liar. Amen. Because there was a time when this right here was contemporary. All right. It was contemporary. You know, actually binding a book and putting the Bible within the pages of itself. You understand? That was something that was new. And many people rejected that. As a matter of fact, it was the high church that rejected it because they were like, nope, the priests are the only ones that can read the word. We are the only ones that can tell you what it means. And they wanted to lock it down, of course, obviously in Latin and this preserved text in the Greek text. God saw differently. Blessed are those that publish the word of God. Amen. Blessed is the king, the Bible tells us. So we understand that everything that is new, amen, is not always bad. Okay. We can use a phone. You can use text messages. You can use social media. You can use these venues to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And but you got to do it in the right way. Okay. You got to do it in the right way. Now, guys, having said all that, you know me well enough. I'm not, you know, when it comes to modern versions, we don't believe in those. We know they're written, they're perversely written, they're incorrect. We'll just make that crystal clear tonight. just in case somebody had that in the thought in their mind. And I could go on a tangent on that of why it is in the two streams of Westcott and Hort with the Codex Vaticanus and Codex Sinaiticus versus the Textus Receptus, which means the received text. We could go over all that this evening, but we're not here to do that tonight. We're here to begin to lay the foundations on learning how to witness the gospel to lost souls. So in Mark chapter 4 is where we are. We're going to look here in Mark chapter 4, and I want you to look in verses 3 through 8. The Bible says in Mark 4, beginning in verse 3, now this is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold." So this is the parable of the sower. And I don't think that most sermons today have been preached. Probably more sermons have been preached from this particular scripture than this one. People preach on the parable of the sower. It's a very popular scripture to preach on. It's a tremendous story of truth that gives the believer more evidence than any other parable concerning witnessing and understanding the parables. And I say to you, why do you think today that this parable is probably, or I would say, the most important out of all of them? Look in verse 13 in our text tonight. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you understand?" How then will you know all parables? Jesus Christ is doing much more than insinuating something here. I believe he's making it crystal clear tonight. He's making a sheer declaration this evening that unless his disciples, unless we understand the parable of the sower, we cannot, will not, and understand the rest of the parables that are given. So needless to say, it appears as if the parable of the sower, you would have to say, is the key to unlocking the understanding of all the other parables. Now, maybe we're sitting here tonight, and you've studied the parables out, and you've studied the harmony between the parables and the outline, the dispensational truth between the parables, of which we're not necessarily going to touch on, not this evening or really during this lesson. It doesn't pertain to what we're actually addressing. But you're thinking, how in the world does this unlock the understanding to the rest of them? I mean, guys, it's very clear that even some of the parables that Jesus Christ used is off the topic completely, dispensationally away from the topic of what this parable is about. So it is right. The understanding, to understand all the other parables, the parable of the sower must truly be understood. That means the dragnet, which is the good fish and the bad fish, the nations, which is the sheep and the goats. We understand that between the sheep and the goats. We know dispensationally that doesn't apply to us in the church. We know that. At least I hope you know that. But you're not going to understand that without first understanding the parable of the sower. The wedding feast, the guest and the bride, a tremendous parable. One of my favorites, to be honest with you. Okay? But you're not going to get a clear understanding until you understand what the parable of the sower is. The fig tree, between the good fruit and the bad fruit. Understanding the fig tree, the parable of the fig tree, even dispensationally speaking, will help us in a way to understand the parable of the fig tree. Stewards, the faithful steward and the slothful, the debtor, the good lender and the bad. All of these parables, all of those doors are unlocked by understanding the parable of the sower. Each and every one of them are to be understood once the parable of the sower is clearly, and the word that Preston used this morning, discerned. When you clearly begin to discern the parable of the sower, it's when you will clearly understand what these other parables say. So Jesus Christ embarks here on the importance, and it's revealed in his opening statement of verse 3. He says, "Hearken, behold." He says, "Hearken and behold." Guys, he puts those together. The word "hearken" means to hear, to give audience to come, to be noise, to be reported. Understand is what he says. Understand. Here, One of the biggest keys, one of the beautiful things that we can understand is when the Lord says, hearken, he's saying, listen up to me now. Now, have you ever had teachers or coaches or more like parents that would go, listen to me now, I'm talking, right? Now, 9 times out of 10 of the other things they've said, they've spoken, and they've assumed. But when they get to something they want you to hear, they start snapping those fingers and say, listen, I'm talking, you know, eyes up here. They'll say things like that, right? They're bringing attention to what they're getting ready to say. That's what Jesus Christ is doing. When he says, hearken, he's saying, listen up. Jesus Christ, listen, man, he said all kinds of things. And I believe everything he said was important, amen? But whatever he's getting ready to say right now, he wanted us to understand. This is vitally important that you listen and listen carefully. That's what he's doing. The next word he says is behold, which means to look or to see. And that's kind of like what I said a moment ago when your teachers would say, hey, eyes up front or eyes up here. You know, that's what your teachers would say. Our coaches, I know sometimes after practice and we'd be taking a knee and we'd be worn slap out from the heat and the practice and we'd be down on a knee and our helmet would be on the floor, on the ground there. And we'd be looking down and breathing hard and coach would blow that whistle and he'd say, all right, boys, get your eyes up here. Eyes up on me. Why? Because he was getting ready to say something important to us. Jesus Christ is making it clear here. If we had no other reason to understand that the parable of the sower is the most important parable of all of them, other than the two words that he opens up with, we wouldn't need anything else. Now, once we start breaking it down and we look at the whole chapter, we look at the whole parable, it's going to be understood very clearly why it's that important. But honestly, guys, the first two words that Jesus Christ said should lay upon our heart. But hey, man, he's getting ready to say something serious here. Now, you may say in your heart, why is it so important? Well, we're going to get into that in just a minute. But Jesus makes it clear. Typically, when we find scripture on one hand, and when we finally, usually we'll see, behold, you know, the words will be used, or the word, or hearken would be to give ear to understand, to hear. Behold would be, hey, come and see, look upon what you're about to hear. You see those, but both words are used here, and that is important for us to understand. Both words are used to draw attention to the other in a manner that the recipient can hear and see to understand the topic that he's speaking of. All right. In other words, come, look, listen, learn. That's what the Lord wants us to know. I once heard a preacher say these words are symbolic of a trumpet sounding. When a trumpet would sound, an announcement was being made. All right. Here, Jesus Christ is sounding two trumpets. You know, one trumpet will be hearken. The other trumpet will be behold. He's sounding two in the statement that he's getting ready to speak on. So there's only two times do we find this quote unquote double trumpet in the Word of God. The only two times. Number one, it occurs in Mark chapter 4. The other time that it occurs in Jeremiah 6:10. And it's not in the same context, although the Word of the Lord is the topic of the verse. Okay. Which I think, guys, is important if we stop and think about it. So it's quite obvious that the Lord wants us to pay special close attention to this particular parable, to what he's getting ready to say, that he is going to answer and he is going to open up a door to other parables that will drive us, I hope and pray, to fulfill what this parable teaches us. And that is to be sowers of the Word of God, to sow the seeds of the Word of God. It's evident by studying the parable of the sower that it not only unlocks the mystery of the other parables and it proves this beyond a shadow of a doubt, but it also begins to prove between true and false converts. That's why it's important. You see this in the stages of this parable, and I'm in the danger of getting ahead of myself right now with because we're only going to go over one ground this evening, one earth that would receive the seed, but it does begin to teach. So in the midst of Christ's teaching on the parable of the sower, there's a particular individual that's listening. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. Jesus Christ says, "Hearken, behold, hear the parable of the sower," right? And he's teaching his disciples and all the other people. Now, what he ends up doing afterwards was he begins to reveal what that parable means to his disciples alone. All right. And he says, understand it's not this parable. How are you going to know if you know not this parable? If you don't know this one, how are you going to know any of them? Well, who's in the midst of those disciples as he's speaking? Think about it. Judas. So you begin to reveal the layers back with the other parables through this very first parable that is being taught. Between true and false converts. Judas, you'll find out as we get into the lesson, is a pure stony ground hearer. He's one who did not even think Jesus Christ was worth a pound of ointment of spikenard. As a matter of fact, to Judas, Jesus was only worth 30 pieces of silver. Judas was a thief who stole from the collection plate. John chapter 21 and verse 6 says, of this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put in it. But to everyone else that was listening, Judas was just a disciple. He was one of the apostles. And when we understand that there is true and false conversions in our life, and we begin to understand why there are true and false conversions in our days, I believe we can truly understand what we need to do in preparation to be a soul witness. Okay? I understand the Bible says, he that winneth souls are wise. And we are going to speak on that here through this lesson. But guys, we have to be very, very, very careful. Because what happens, discouragement sets in when you don't get the ticks in your belt, the ticks on your list. Discouragement sets in when you're witnessing and witnessing and witnessing and witnessing, and it feels like it's just falling on deaf ears. And you don't feel like you're making any progress. You don't feel like you're doing anything. What happens 9 times out of 10 with mankind is we begin to change our methodology. There's nothing wrong with changing methods as long as the message is the same. I'm going to witness typically to any individual in the same format because God's given us a format to be able to witness to people. But how I approach that person will be multitudes or a plethora of choices of differences depending on where they are, what background they use, what words I use. If I'm talking to a neurosurgeon and we happen to be talking about surgeries or anatomy, I'm going to speak with a medical terminology that I know because I know he's going to understand that. If I'm speaking to a ball player, an athlete, we're going to speak on terms of athletics. If that's what draws us into that conversation, we're going to get into this in the weeks to come. But I want us to understand this evening, guys, there is one way into salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. We are not to change the message of the gospel just to get a tick on our list. Amen? Amen. So notice this with me, if you will. We're going to look at the first one. Look in verse 3 again. Let's read that just for context sake. Verse 3. Bible says here, it says, hark, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now we're going to look at the first ground here that's being sown upon, and that is the wayside hearers. The wayside hearers. You know, if I was going to be very, very, very pessimistic tonight, and I'm trying not to, but the reality is, in your mind, if I was to sit here and say, guys, how many people in here would say that the majority of the people that they witness to are wayside hearers? How many people would raise their hands? You know what a wayside hearer is. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 4, look in verse 4. The Bible says there, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. So notice that any time that there's a wayside sowing of the gospel, there's fowls involved. Now, I don't have time tonight, as I promised myself, that I would not be long because I'm hungry. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But I wasn't going to go long to see them. Every time that you find many fowls, I don't want to say every time, but when the sowing of the word of God occurs, there's always going to be a fowl involved. Because many times fowls are a depiction of devils in the Bible. All right, look at verse 15 of our text, verse 15 tonight. Fowls in the scriptures have been many times related to types of devils or demons and even Satan himself. But verse 15 tells us, it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Okay, we know by verse 14 that the sower soweth the word. So the seed is the word of God. And there's an answer in that. And verse 15 says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are poor souls, guys, who would have heard the word of the gospel. They would have heard the life-saving gospel, but it's being sown upon Satan's orders, these demons, these devils come and devour the word of God. Jesus Christ in the parable depicts them as fowls, but they come in the form of distractions, okay? They come in the form of difficulties and dilemmas. They do. And now we sit there and we look at that. I remember years ago, and I can't off the top of my head, necessarily remember the show, but this is going better part of 20 some odd years ago. Very similar to C.S. Lewis's book, what's it called? Screwtape Diaries, is that what it's called? So very similar to that. They had these little imps or devils or something along that line that were being depicted of the trouble and the problems that they caused in people's life. And in this particular little show they were showing, it was like little things like dropping your keys. You know, you get up sometimes in the morning and you drop your keys, you spill your coffee, you drop this, and it's just one of those days and you're like, okay, I got to reset, right? Well, that's what this show is depicting. And I thought that to be quite comical in myself. But then I thought to myself, you know what? That's how he works. The Satan works. When the seed is sown and the Satan comes in, or the devils come in at his orders, they come in their life through distractions. It may not be anything major. As a matter of fact, it may be something as simple as, you know what, I gotta hurry up because I gotta get the shop and get my grocery shopping done. The reality is, guys, you do have to get grocery shopping finished, don't you? The reality is we all have chores. We all have responsibilities in life. But what happens is those responsibilities, those necessities, those needs will come to someone's mind real quick, like and in a hurry, right? Because what's happening, they become a wayside hearer. The seed is being sown and dilemmas come into their mind. Now, a dilemma, guys, is a crossroads. And it doesn't take any time for the fowls, for the demons to gobble them up. Satan's work is very evident, guys. It hasn't changed. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles here, Ephesians chapter 6. Look here with me, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're looking at one word there. And if you can turn there quickly, we'll be in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6. We got that switch fixed and we get this light in here. Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 11. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the word wiles comes from the Greek word methodia, which means method or methods, if you will, because it's in the plural here in Exodus chapter 6. So we are to put on the whole armor of God is what Paul is telling us, that we can stand against what? Against the wiles, against the methods of the devil. What is his methods? Well, one of his methods in keeping the gospel from people's heart is distractions in their life, is difficulties in their life, is dilemmas in their life. Satan's work is evident in his methods. He's going to use distractions. He's going to use difficulties. He's going to use dilemmas. Now, one of the things we talked about in yesterday's Bible study on our Zoom Bible study at 1 p.m. yesterday was the question was asked was why in our Western world, comfortable worlds, you know, we're not hurting too bad here in the United Kingdom. Why is there such a disdainment really and truly for biblical truth and for the right way of living and God's way of living? Why is it there? Why does it seemingly rejected so much in our world today? And my answer was this. What the devil could not accomplish through problems, he's accomplished very successfully in prosperity. When prosperity was brought into our Western world, United Kingdom, USA, etc., what did you have? You had backs that were being turned away from the Church of God. So his methods, guys, his methods are not different than they were from the very beginning. So if we're to use the harmony of the Gospels, if you will, concerning this parable, you'll see, read Luke chapter 8, verse 12 from up top. I don't even know if you can read that, guys. It's a test for your eyes. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, those by the wayside are they that hear, now listen carefully, they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Watch this. Lest they should believe and be saved. That's what he does. How does he do that? He does it through difficulties, distractions, and dilemmas in a person's life. You say, well, preacher, what can be a dilemma? Let me go ahead and tell you, in the world that we live in today, I believe especially, that one of the major dilemmas that somebody is faced with, that the devil will whisper in their ear by taking that word out of their heart, is that they look at what they have to change in their own life to be saved and born again. And they simply decide it's not worth the work. You say, well, preacher, that's just silly. People will hear the word of God. The word of God is trying to be planted in their heart to save their soul for all eternity. And there's a dilemma that come across their mind saying, well, you know what? If I get saved, I got to stop doing this. I got to start doing it. And they're running through all these things. Those are distractions and dilemmas. And that seed is removed, never planted. and the soul is never saved. Matthew 22, I won't ask you to turn there for time's sake tonight, but Matthew 22, looking in verses 2 through 5, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Verse 5 says, but they made light of it, and with their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Guys, we have a multitude of men, women, and children today that are simply making light of the things that are on its way. They're making light of it. They're making light of things to come. You know what they're making light of? They're making light of death. They're making light of deliverance. They're making light of the decision that they need to make today to receive or to reject Jesus Christ. They will say, with many other scoffers, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is what happens when Satan devours the seed of the Word of God. Can I say this to you tonight? And I'm not trying to step out on a branch here that's halfway sawn through. But when the seed of the Word of God is planted in your heart, I think it does more than save you. Okay? It saves you for eternity. And that's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. But it opens up a door of understanding to His Word. I mean, the Bible tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, it tells us clearly that the lost person cannot understand the Word of God. They neither can they discern them, for they are spiritually discerned, the Bible says. You know, I get put out with so much stuff that goes on in the world that's being taught today, that's being pushed either through some type of media source or a radio program or television or just in the pulpits. I get put out real quick and so hard, and I have to fight my flesh not to say things back. Just absolute false doctrine, man. Can I tell you this, guys? Matthew 24 is a tribulational verse. All right? That's exactly what it is. Luke 21, 28 is in trib. That ain't for today. All right? You know, rightly divided, we are living in a world today that I believe one of the greatest tragedies is the inability to rightly divide the Word of truth. And it's sad, guys. Good friends of mine, teammates of mine, are absolutely deluded in their understanding of the Holy Scripture today. And they're trying to apply verses in their life that they don't even belong to the church age. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to be part of the tribulation period. I don't want to be part of a generation that has to work for their salvation. Amen? I don't want to be that person, because if that's the case, I fail every single day. Amen? This is what happens when the seed of the Word of God is devoured up. Now, I was just talking about the tribulation period. The reason Matthew 24 is on my head is something that you're going to see in the latter times. And as that tribulation period kicks off, Matthew 24:12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We are seeing the forefront today of utter lawlessness in our world. Hearts are waxed cold. And this is the result of the Word of God being devoured up by Satan. The fact of the matter is this, is that wayside hearers are under the control of Satan, and they've become prey in the work in his workings in this world. That's what it is. Wayside hearers are lost as the day is long. You say, preacher, why in the world are you going to, if we're going to talk about soul witnessing, why is this so important? Because we need to understand this evening. We need to understand in our life that these are the soils that you're going to deal with when you try to witness to people in this world. You need to understand it's part of life. And if your first 45 people that you witness to are wayside hearers, you're going to be discouraged. Hands down. You're going to be upset. You're going to be brokenhearted. You may even get a little angry. But you're going to be discouraged. And you're going to be tempted to quit. Hands down. You say, oh, preacher, bless God, I'd never quit. Yeah, rise those hills up, big boy, see what happens. Discouragement is part of life. Discouragement is part of the ministry, okay? It comes. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was a man of what? A man of sorrows. He looked over Jerusalem and he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, had you even known, he said. And he wept because of them. He stood outside of the grave of Lazarus when he was dead. And he wept not because Lazarus was dead. He wept because of the people's unbelief. Amen. So guys, it's going to happen. It's going to keep you up at night. But you need to understand, this is the ground that you're working with in the world today. Part of it, 25% of those that are sown are wayside hearers. So turn your Bibles to Acts 26, guys. Brother Preston, what's the time you have on there right now? I went longer than I anticipated tonight, so I made myself a liar. I do ask forgiveness of that. I got three short points that we want to talk about tonight of what Satan wants to do. And I'm going to have you turn three times after Acts 26 tonight. I'm going to have you turn three more times and then we'll be finished as we address the wayside hearers and sowing the seeds of the Word of God. So in Acts 26 and in looking at verse 18 with me, the drive that Paul has, that Bible, Paul's given this testimony and he says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul obviously quoting Jesus here. Friends, Satan seeks to reproduce three things in this world. And this is the reason you have the wayside hearers today. This is the reason why he sends his henchmen for distractions, dilemmas, and difficulties. This is the reason that his wiles have never changed. It's always going to be the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's never going to change. But he has three things that he wants to reproduce. Number one, Satan wants to reproduce liars in this world. He wants to reproduce liars. Look over in John chapter 8 with me real quickly. I'm going to have to turn this time and two more. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, very familiar passage of Scripture. You probably already know where I'm going here. Jesus Christ is preaching. He's preaching against these Pharisees. He's preaching against these people that are just cold, flat-out liars. And in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. Watch this. And the father of it. My friend, you can mark it down in black, red, purple, blue ink in your Bible tonight and not ever have to change it. Satan is a liar, and all lies, no matter what they are, come from Satan himself. He seeks to reproduce liars today. That's what he wants to do. This is why he has perverted the Scripture. This is why he has removed certain things from the Word of God. This is why he will try to lure someone into believing they are on their way to heaven by false teachings and keep them in an utter slumber for their entire life so that he may lay claim to their soul. He seeks to reproduce liars. Number two, turn to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Satan seeks for people to remain lost. Remain lost. So he seeks to reproduce liars, and he seeks for people to remain lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Watch this. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He simply wants, you know, this is what's strange in our world today, is that we have this idea that if you know, we've heard these rock music musicians back in, well, they sold their soul to the devil. Man, you can't sell your soul. You can't sell what you don't own. Amen? You can't. You know, that's why they say, hey, I got a bridge to sell you if you believe this, you know, because I can't sell a bridge. I don't own it. Amen? You can't sell what you, and you never have owned your soul. Your soul was owned by God at conception. And once you reached a certain age, an age of accountability, it was owned by Satan. And after that, when you got saved and born again, it was owned by God again. It never was yours. All right? But these people will say, well, they sold their soul to the devil so that they may be able to reach the prosperity. Listen, man, we have this idea that we think that Satanists in this world today are liked by Satan. Satan hates everyone and everything. The word Satan literally means adversary, not adversary of one group, adversary of everything. He hates God's creation. Why do you think he went after Adam and Eve? That was a representation, the image of God. He hates that. He hates you, and he hates me, and he hates every lost soul in this world. He hates them equally because he is a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar. So he seeks to keep people lost. He wants people to be blind to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants the world to remain lost. Lastly, he seeks to remove. He has a desire to remove life. Look in Luke chapter 9. Beloved, I'm going to make a statement here, and it may be a bit brash. But when you find anyone out there in this world today that despises life, any life, any race, any tongue, any nation, any life from conception, capital C. Amen? Yeah. I'm making it crystal clear. People who support abortion, Planned Parenthood in the United States, Margaret Sanger, who was a devout racist and believed in genocide and wanted to try to destroy the black race. Yeah, Margaret Sanger. Yeah. She was led by the devil. Anyone who hates life are being led and deceived by Satan. I'm making it that crystal clear. Satan wants to reproduce liars. Satan wants people to remain lost. Satan desires to remove life. Luke chapter 9, verse 42. The Bible tells us here, it says, and as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. You know, one thing that is common amongst those that were devil possessed throughout the Word of God, they were constantly harming themselves, injuring themselves. Remember the maniac of Gadara who had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of devils inside of him? That's why his name was Legion. What did he do? He was known to dwell, number one, around dead people in the graves. Number two, he was unclothed, let that thing sink in for a while, and he was constantly cutting himself. Amen? Now, guys, listen, I'm not telling you that somebody has suffered from cutting. I'm not telling you guys that they're of the devil, but I'm telling you they're being deceived by the devil. Amen? Let's make sure that's crystal clear here tonight. The devil is deceiving this world to hate life. And I know I'm repeating myself like a broken record, but we live in a world today that is convinced that they came from nothing. When they die, they go to nothing. Well, let me ask you a question. If you came from nothing, and then when you die, you're going to nothing. What does that make you in the middle? It makes you nothing. It makes you of no purpose, no reason for existence, no reason to live in this world today. It is the deception of the devil. You say, preacher, you're talking about evolution? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Amen? I'm talking about evolution. Absolutely. If we believe that we just came from nothing, we serve no purpose or existence in this world today, what is our life? The Bible says it's even a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. But we're here to serve a purpose and a plan after God's will. These are the things that are among the working of Satan. He is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He does these first things by devouring the Word of God from the hearts and the minds of those that received it by the wayside. Matthew 13:19 tells us, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth it away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So, beloved, I want to stress it here tonight. As we go into this soul witnessing class, you are going to get discouraged. And many of you guys have been witnessing for years and decades on end, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. But you're going to experience these things, and you're going to deal with these things. They're going to be part of the life that you live in. You need to understand that there's four types of soils that are in the world today that you're going to be witnessing to, that you're going to sow the seeds to. And those soils are very clear. The lines are very drawn out as to what they are. They're very drawn out as to how they're going to be received in this parable of the sower. So let's bow our heads tonight. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time of being here this evening. We pray now that you continue to guide us, direct us, and lead us into the right way. We ask you to forgive us where we have failed you, Lord, and pray, Lord, that you allow this word to sink into our hearts. Let it motivate us to be a witness to the lost and dying, to take the precious gospel, Lord, and just be guided by the loving hands of our Jesus Christ through the pure, perfect word of God, and that we may be able to get into this world and be that witness and help and ask the Holy Spirit to bring many to the fold. Lord, we love you. I ask you to bless the rest of this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, praise the Lord. All right, so we're going to go ahead and